Morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15 verse 21. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 15 verse 21. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 15 verse 21 reads this way. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out from the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you again for the blessing and the opportunity it is to come to your house and to, Lord, seek you and to call upon you to open up our hearts and minds to understand more about you and the salvation that you've given to us. And then, Lord, if there's one in our midst or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, Lord, may you help them to understand how to receive you and how to believe on you that they might have eternal life as well. Lord, may all things be done to honor and glorify you. May you be highly exalted this morning in our hearts and minds and throughout our lives as we go forward into the next week, that you might be truly, Lord, lifted up and that we would be your witnesses. So bless your word, bless your people this morning, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply Jesus and the Seeker, or O Lord, Thou Son of David. And we're going to see that here in just a moment. But what I'd like for you to do is, if you've got a bookmarker, hold your place right here in Matthew chapter 15 and go with me to Mark, the next book over, Mark chapter 7, verse 24. I want to read the other account of this same story here that we have. And I believe it'll be a blessing as we put these two together. But let me invite you over to Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And I want you to see some things here that are taking place that are not mentioned in the other text here, but it puts it all together for us here. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, "And from thence he arose and went into the border of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house," listen to this, "and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she brought him, she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And she was come to her house, and she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed." You might hold your place here, but let's go back to our text in the book of Matthew here. And we'll pick up here. And here's what we find. We find the Lord was going to a place for a time of rest, a time of seclusion, and the word was that he didn't want anybody to know that he was gone into this house. He was trying to get away from everything. But here's one thing that we do know. The Lord is about seeking those who are lost to bring them unto a relationship with himself, and he's never out of business when it comes to that. He's always in the business of seeking and saving those who are lost and those who have an interest in salvation. And here we have a situation where this woman here of Tyre and Sidon, she's coming from the coast. So imagine this. She is leaving the coast, going towards the inner part of Tyre and Sidon. The Lord is coming out of Galilee, and he's coming to the border there of Tyre and Sidon. And so the Lord knows this connection or this meeting is going to take place, does he not? God knows everything, and he knows it's going to take place. But notice how this happens. We're not going to give the devil any credit for this, but God allowed this woman, her daughter, to be vexed with this devil that she might come and seek the Lord. Look how the Lord works. God allows difficulties, trials, into our lives that he might draw us unto himself. So truly, God works out all things for our good. So here she's vexed with this devil, her daughter is, and she has compassion for her daughter, does she not? She cares about her daughter. She loves her daughter. And here's something else. She is a Gentile. She is a Syrophoenician by nation, right? Tyre and Sidon. And these people, she's a Canaanite. And Canaanites were cursed. But I want you to stop and think about something here. The Lord is not willing that any should perish in the whole world. He wants everybody to be saved. But I want you to understand this also. At this particular time, the Lord, the Old Testament is kind of transitioning here. Old Testament is ending. The New Testament is beginning. But the Lord was coming to the Jewish nation first. It was the Jewish nation that were his elect, his chosen people, were they not? Yeah, let's not be afraid of these words. We believe in election. We believe in God's predestination. He knows all of these things. But we also know that God is not willing that any should perish. So God has not called a certain group of people to go to heaven, and God has not called a certain people to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God really forbids no one, but in the Old Testament times, it was the Jew that was to be the witness to the whole world of the grace of God and the mercy of God. And even in the Old Testament, God was showing that he was going to share it also with the Gentiles. But at the time during the Old Testament, it was the Jewish people, the Israelites' responsibility to propagate the truth that all might be saved. And remember this also, Rahab, the harlot,
is part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a Gentile, right? Ruth, the Moabitess, was also a Gentile, also of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? So God was already incorporating everybody involved, because God is not willing that any should perish. If he was predestining people to a certain, end or demise, he would have never picked the Gentiles, but he did, didn't he? And so he's opening this all up to everybody. And I want you to see something as we continue on here. I want to invite you, In fact, let me do something before we do that. When we consider this story here, we find what's working is the mercy and the grace of God. And the disciples, I think, sometimes get a little bit familiar with the Lord and they step a little bit in front of the Lord. Have they ever done that? And they're walking. They got so close to the Lord. They were one time walking, and the Lord was rejected by a certain village. And the disciples said, "Lord, why don't we just call down fire from heaven and destroy this village right here?" And the Lord said, "Ye know not what spirit you're of, because the Son of Man didn't come to seek and to destroy, but to seek and to save those which are lost." So they got a little bit ahead of themselves and a little bit ahead of the Lord. But we find it's always the mercy and grace of God that's at work. And the Lord will never turn anyone away who is truly seeking him. And it's the Lord's glory to seek and to save those which are lost. It glorifies him. I don't understand that, but I'm glad it works that way. So somebody might say, would you trust your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? If I had a million souls, I would trust them all to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I could trust everybody's soul who has ever lived, past, present, and future, I could trust all of them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would save how many of them? He would save all of them. What a great Savior. What a great God you and I have. Let me tell you the three points that we'll be looking at this morning. We'll see the woman's approach. We'll look at the Lord's plan and what the woman heard. And then lastly, we'll look at the acknowledgement of God and the Lord's work. So let's consider here in verse 21 of chapter 15 of the book of Matthew, the woman's approach. And here's the Lord's, again, he's coming towards the coast, and the woman is coming from the coast toward the Lord. And notice what the first thing the woman says here in verse 22. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me." That's good, isn't it? Have mercy on me. She knew she needed the mercy of God. What is that? That is God giving us something we don't deserve. And she knew she didn't deserve this, but she says, have mercy on me. Notice how she says this. Oh, what? Lord. Oh, Lord. So she's already acknowledging him as Lord. Not only that, but notice what she says here. Thou son of David. So she calls him Lord, thou son of David. Again, the title of the message this morning is Jesus and the Seeker, or we could also call it, O Lord, thou son of David. You know what that title is? She is acknowledging him as the Savior of the world. She is acknowledging him as the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel, but then also of the whole world. So here she is, and she's facing the Lord. She's asking him for mercy, and because it was dealing with her daughter, she had a need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important, really, that we care for others as well as we care for ourselves. But this was personal with her, was it not? She cared for her daughter. But we ought to have compassion for all of our family members and for all of our neighbors, because an eternal soul is just simply that. It's going to last forever. And if it's up to us to be the witnesses of God's great mercy and grace, if they don't hear it from us, where will they hear it from? And what will be the end result of it? So it's important that we share the gospel message with a lost and dying world. And you know, we can do that in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've shared before, when you talk with someone, you could just ask them simply, what is it that they believe, spiritually speaking? And just listen to them, hear what they have to say. And you know what? People love to tell you what they think. And you can genuinely just listen, because then you'll be able to hear what the Holy Spirit might be doing in their lives. Somebody might say something like, well, I kind of believe in this, but I'm really not sure. Well, that's an open door, isn't it? Well, I think this, and even if they're adamant about something and they say, well, this is the way I believe, this is what I've been taught, and I'm convinced this is the truth, right? And then we can simply say something like, well, if what you're believing is not the truth, we're asking for an invitation. Would you like to know? Would you want to know? If what you're believing is not the truth, would you want to know? And if they say yes, and I believe most of the times they're going to say yes, then you have an open door to say, let me show you here in the Word of God what the Bible says. And then you can ask them to read that. And then we ask them, what does that mean to you? Now we're engaging them, and we're just turning pages, and the Holy Spirit will speak to them. What does that mean to you? And we give them an opportunity to understand what the Bible says about eternal life through the Romans Road. It's a simple process. But God wants us to be a witness. But if we don't say anything at all, what will happen? Nothing will happen. So what are we afraid of? Are we afraid of ourselves? Are we afraid of what other people might think or say? Or are we not concerned about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the witnesses? We ought to be witnesses, amen? Right? I'm not saying that you do that when somebody's at work or they're busy or you're at work or what have you, but you have many opportunities outside of work to engage people in conversation. And we could just talk about, somebody was just saying, I haven't heard this, but they were saying, because of all that's going over in Iran, the world is coming to an end. Well, what an open door. What's happening over in Iran? I didn't know the world was coming to an end till this morning. Somebody said, everybody's on the news thinking the world's coming to an end. Well, the Lord holds everything in his hands. But if somebody says, well, maybe the world's coming to an end. Well, that's good. What do you think happens in the end? Right? And let them say what happens. But here, this woman here, more important than the world coming to an end, because her daughter was possessed with a devil, her life was coming to an end. She had compassion and she cared and she came and sought out the Lord Jesus Christ. And no doubt that she believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah. So she cries out for mercy on the Lord because it was her daughter. And she was concerned about this. And notice what happens here in verse 23. But he answered her not a word. That's pretty strong. He answered, this is the first time, in fact, the only time that I find in Scripture when people were talking to the Lord for a need they had or a help they had, he never didn't say anything. He always asked them if they had faith or, you know, if you could believe all things are possible, or he went to go help them out. But at this particular time, he doesn't say anything. He answered, and notice this. Now, look at verse 23, and the disciples here are a little bit ahead of themselves. Look at verse 23. And he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Really? She was crying after the disciples? I thought she was crying after the Lord. Yeah, she wasn't crying after the disciples. See, they took too much upon themselves. They were hanging around the Lord so much that they thought they were as popular or as much wanted as he was. In fact, without him, they could do nothing, right? She knew who she was after, and they got all this confused. So the Lord allowed them to speak, and the Lord did give directions. I am wanting to go to this house, to where we could be left alone. And so here's this woman. She comes, and I'm just going to surmise a little bit of what went on here. The disciples were asked, in fact, I'm just going to read it again. You don't have to turn there. But in verse 24, here's what it says. And from thence, chapter 7 of the book of Mark, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it. So the disciples knew this, and then this woman comes, and so she is diligently seeking the Lord, and she's asking, right, for the Lord where he's at, and she's making a little bit of a commotion. Lord, I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking for him. Where is he at? He's inside this house, and maybe the disciples come out, because they're outside now with the Lord, because the Lord, remember, he's speaking, or she's speaking to him. He doesn't answer her. And now the disciples say, send her away, Lord. She's troubling us, right? We don't want her. My goodness, she interrupted our conversation that we were having. My goodness, you were just getting into something good. And maybe John may have chimed in. We know Peter may have been a little bit outspoken about this. I don't know who the culprit was that said, maybe they were all involved in saying, send her away. But the Lord knew she was coming. The Lord knew her need. But here's the thing. She was a Syrophoenician, and the Lord has an order of way of doing things. And he did go to the children of Israel first, but he's not excluding her. But here's one thing that I'm certain the Lord knows, that this woman had faith in him. and was not going to quit. So here was an opportunity for her to receive a blessing that he wanted to give her. And here was a lesson for the disciples to understand and learn as well, that they might walk upright before the Lord. Sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, we get to thinking because we're Christians or because, you know, that our opinion is of some great value. Our opinion is of some great value, right? That we have something really, something important to say. Well, if the Lord hasn't said it, and if it's just our opinion, we could be dead wrong, can't we? There's a lot of people that think, well, you know, I can really add a whole lot to this conversation, spiritually speaking. Really? Without the Lord, what are we? What are we really? We don't have anything to offer. Sometimes we get too big for our britches. Did the disciples do that while they walked with the Lord? Absolutely they did. Did they do it even afterwards? Yes, they did. Can you and I do it? Yeah, we can. We can. You know, I've got some great spiritual truths to unload on you here. And if the Lord is not doing it, we're missing what he's saying. And so here's the Lord. And notice how he's working here with this woman. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him. So now they're talking. So you get this? The woman and the Lord are having this conversation. The disciples come to him, and now they're asking him to send her away. And notice how they said it again here. They say in verse 23, but he answered not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, listen to this, send her away, for she crieth after us. They got that wrong. The Syrophoenician woman was not saying, you know, if I can get to the disciples, they will save my daughter. Was she thinking that? No, she was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who she was pursuing. So now the disciples are outside of this house. The Lord probably hears the commotion, and he's found out, but he is a willing participant in this. And he knew this was, in fact, listen, this is an area here which is on the borders of Israel that is going to a Gentile nation. He made a special trip to meet this woman. Do you believe that? He made a special trip to meet this woman's needs and to prove her faith and to allow her to experience the mercy and grace of God, because he knew she was seeking him. So as we consider this here, we find the Lord's plan and what the woman heard. So again, she believed, I'm convinced, that he was the Messiah, that he could help her. So imagine this back in the day here of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have somebody who's got some kind of an illness with their leg and they can't walk. And they hear about this doctor that can heal people. And they got a whole bunch of sick people. They load them up on a wagon. Maybe it's 20 miles away on a wagon ride. And here they are riding towards this town. And they come across these other people that are heading back. And the other people heading back say, where are you going? And they say, we got this wagon load of people that have illnesses going to see this Dr. So-and-so. And they say, you're going to see Dr. So-and-so? We're just coming back from seeing Dr. So-and-so. And they say, is he a good doctor? And they say, oh my goodness, yes, he's a good doctor. And one of them says, look, I've got this illness with my leg. Can he heal that? Oh my goodness, I've had both my legs with the same illness. And look at me walk now. Do you think they were a little bit excited about going to see this doctor who could heal them? Do you know that's what this woman was convinced of, that the Lord Jesus Christ could, she had heard his reputation, and she also understood, I believe, the word of God, because she called him the Son of David. Where did she get that from? I want to show you something here, and you don't have to turn over there, but I'm going to show you a couple places in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. See if I can get over there myself. Book of Isaiah, chapter 42. And I want you to see something here that I think will be a blessing to you. Isaiah, chapter 42. And let's pick up in verse 1. Isaiah 42, verse 1 says this. And this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is prophetic. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the who? To the Gentiles. That was an open door. That was a truth that she understood. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. He's a gentle soul here. And the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it. Did you see? This is the Lord that does all this, the Spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the who? Of the Gentiles again. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So no doubt she has heard this. And she's saying, this is the Messiah. She was convinced, thou son of David, this was the Messiah. And she was excited about that because she knew she had help. You're right there in the book of Isaiah, if you're looking there. Go over to chapter 49, and look at verse 6. One verse here, Isaiah 49, verse 6. And he said, is it a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob? And to restore the preserved of Israel, I will also give thee for a light to the what? To the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. I'm not going to ask you to do it now, but I would challenge you. Just look up the word Gentiles and look at all the connections that the Lord makes in sharing the gospel in the Old Testament with the Gentiles. One more place I'd like for you to see. Go over to the Gospel of Luke just for a moment. And this is Simeon. Remember when Mary and Joseph brought the Lord Jesus Christ before Simeon? And I want you to see what happens here in Luke chapter 2, verse 27. Luke chapter 2, verse 27 reads this way. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. This is Simeon. The word Spirit is capitalized. So that's the Holy Spirit. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, this is Simeon, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen what? Thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Listen to this, a light to lighten who? The Gentiles. And the glory of thy people Israel. Did you see that? A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. That is our God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ incarnate walking on this earth for the glory of his Father and his own glory. And that the whole world might know the truth and have eternal life. This is the one that this woman had confidence in. She understood this truth, and truly, listen, she believed it, and the Lord knew it, and he's also working on the disciples, right? He's also wanting us to understand these things as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. So let's go back to our text, Matthew chapter 15, and let's consider here as we find that she's seeking help, and we find this woman's trial of faith right here. And look at verse 22 again. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. Now, she could have been discouraged and left there, but he knew her faith. And notice this, answered not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. I don't think that was very encouraging either to her ears. But here are the disciples. Did the Lord honor the disciples in this? No, he didn't send her away. But that's what they wanted to be done. So notice what happens here. But he answered. Now the Lord answers. He's letting all this take place. This woman is witnessing all of this because he knows her faith. And it's going to glorify, by the way, it's penned down. It's going to glorify the Lord, but it's penned down for all of history to know here. So what happens? Verse 24, he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know what he's saying? My purpose is to go to Israel first. It was through the church in the book of Acts that they moved over to the Gentiles, right? You remember that? The whole message in the Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is to the Jew, is what's being done there. It wasn't till through Peter that the door was opened up in Cornelius, if you remember, where it went over to the Gentiles. And the Jews were taken by it, weren't they? They were surprised by it because they did not understand all these things that were spoken about in the Old Testament. But praise God, this Syrophoenician woman did during the Lord's earthly ministry. She understood that the Lord was also for them, for her, right? And so she's excited about this, and she's hearing all of this. And then the Lord tells her, I'm to go first to the elect, and that's Israel. But that doesn't mean that the Gentiles are excluded. And so she's hearing this, and notice what happens here. What does she do here in verse 25? Then, notice, came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, not master, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Are the disciples speaking anymore? No, because the Lord has engaged her. And I'm convinced they're figuring out that was not God's will to send her away. They're learning, aren't they? They're learning. See, a heart of humility is important. Question, does this woman have a heart of humility? Absolutely. Notice what happens next here. Then he says this. She worships him in verse 25. She says to him, Lord, help me. And then look at his answer here. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He called her a dog. Would you find that a little bit insulting if you weren't humble? If you didn't understand what he was saying? So he was saying, listen, it is the help for the word of God, the plan of God, to take care of Israel first. That's the way the Lord set it up, did he not? Israel first, and then the church. But all of them are going to be brought together. So, listen, she could have said, well, I never, and hit the road. But she was after something, wasn't she? She needed something from the Lord, and she was a beggar. You cannot receive anything from the Lord until you come to the place to where you say, God, I need you. And without you, I can't have this. And so I am calling upon. See, that requires true humility. There are people, listen, is the world looking for the Lord? No, they're not looking for the world. I'm sorry, the Lord. The world is looking for itself. And if they're caught up in looking for themselves, are they looking for the Lord? Absolutely not. The people that are looking for the things that are licentiousness, that are wicked, are they looking for the Lord? No, it requires humility. It requires, listen, a humble heart to say, I'm in a mess. I need you. But see, sometimes when we look at ourselves, we see something different than God sees. You know, the scales are so balanced out in our own minds that we don't see our unrighteousness. This woman knew she had nothing unless the Lord gave it to her. See, we need to come to the place, and God needs to bring us to the place. And this is offensive, I want you to know. People say, how dare you treat me? Do you know how you're speaking to me? Well, how will you stand before the Lord? How do you think that's going to bear for you? I mean, there are people that are saying, do you know who I am? Yeah, you're a sinner just as bad as I am. You've got nothing. We have nothing to offer the Lord. But you know what I've done? Do you know what I'm doing? Well, then who are you looking to? Not looking to the Lord. And it's his righteousness that cleanses us from all our sins. You can show up however you want to show up before the Lord. That's your choice. See, the thing is that we go about proving that God is right and God is just in everything he does. We don't go looking for flaws and saying, well, God could have done it like this. God should have done it like this. God, I mean, if he were really love, he would work the way I think. Really? Really would he work that way? Which one of us would give up one of our, but they're not sinless, which one of us would give up one of our own for anybody else? Willingly. Out of love, not begrudgingly. Out of love, giving us his son. Which one of us would do that? So I would rather spend my time finding out that God is right and looking at it from that perspective. And that requires me to humble myself. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You're right. And I'm not just saying, I'm not just giving lip service. I'm agreeing, Lord, you are right. I am a sinner and I cannot save myself. Even my righteousness that I think is so good. Before you, God, they're tainted with sin. They're as filthy rags. And here's what we do. You know, if we're not careful, this is the human nature. Well, we excuse ourselves. When we do things that God says we shouldn't do, we look at that and say, well, you know, we kind of weigh the balance out a little bit there. And it just balances out amazingly. It's okay in the eyes of God, but it really isn't. And then, my goodness, if we do any little thing for the Lord that we think is good, we want to up on a pedestal, look what I've done. Well, who's doing it? I've done. If this is what I'm doing, then God's not doing it through me. And I think we need to seek the Lord. No, I know we need to seek the Lord to work through us, because without Him, we can't do any. Oh, we can do things without the Lord, but they're not to His glory. Not the way He wants it to do. And we can just sweep whatever, we can excuse whatever and just sweep it under the rug and just say, you know, God, you don't see this at all. You know, I know it's against your word and I know what your word says, but you know, I just had to, you know, send her away, would you? And that's not the will of God. Send down fire and take care of things. See, God requires a humble and contrite, that's a broken heart, He'll not reject. I'm afraid in this day and age, we're not brokenhearted, really. We're not. I mean, if the truth be known, I mean, is it not for the glory of the Lord? Is it not for God to get our attention and say, Lord, I need you. I don't just want to attend a church meeting. I need you in my life. And that's what this woman was coming to. And the disciples were caught up in something here, and their focus was on themselves, wasn't it? Did they care about this Syrophoenician woman? What'd they say? Send her away. Was that God's will? No, it wasn't God's will, because He's not, again, willing that any should perish. And they were so caught up in following the Lord, talking about spiritual things, they thought they knew the mind and heart of God. You know, God does not think the way we think. And praise the Lord, you're right. Because none of us would be in heaven. We'd find fault with everybody but ourselves. Isn't that the way the flesh works? We'd find fault with everybody but ourselves. We'd say, you know, Lord, you just need to, these people just need to go. This Syrophoenician woman just needs to go. And what do we have there? And I think the disciples thought they were doing something good. But now let's get back to the Syrophoenician woman. Where is she at? What is she hearing? She's got a broken heart here for her daughter. And he says this in verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, something you need to know about during this time of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were two kinds of dogs. There were the older dogs. And they basically were garbage disposals. And they were mean. I mean, they were wild, feral type dogs, and they would just throw their food scraps and garbage to get it out of the house. But then there were the little dogs, the puppies. Now, those were different. Now, they didn't really look at them as anything really good, but when they were little puppies, they allowed the children to have them for a little while until they got older, right? So listen to what happens here. Listen to what she says here. Let's put 26 and 27 together. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Look at this woman's faith. And she said, verse 27, truth, Lord. Is that not humility? You know what she's saying? I am a dog. I am outside of the economy of Israel. I am a Gentile. Now watch this. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs, the little dogs, the little puppies, eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now, wait a minute. We're not talking about the adults here. We're not talking about the adults. We're talking about the children. Isn't that what the Lord said? Do you remember what He said? He was talking about, look at verse 25. Then she came and worshipped Him saying, Lord, help me. Notice this, verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not me to take the what? The children's bread. So listen to this thought now. This is not the higher echelon. These are the children. These are the people of Israel. Now, I don't know if you understand, Israel was not much of a nation. In fact, they were looked down upon. Israel was. This Syrophoenician woman was of greater power as far as her nation was. So she is placing herself under the authority, guess of who? Those disciples that just told her to get rid of her. She is putting herself under the disciples that just said, send her away. Tell me that is not a picture of humility. And saying, you know, Lord, I am putting myself. Truth, Lord, you are right. I am no better than what you are saying. But even the little puppies eat. After the children eat, scraps fall on the floor, and we can partake in that come from the children of Israel. In other words, I can still receive a blessing. I can still get something that you have blessed the children, your children with, that can fall in my favor. So again here, as we look at this, we find this woman was in a trial of her faith, and the disciples had a big misunderstanding here. And I want you to see, we're going to end up right here. Look what happens here. Verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Remember the children. The children. And look at what the Lord does here. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, listen to this. O woman, not little faith, great is thy faith. Great is thy... How did that all transpire? The Lord working in her life. The Lord coming to meet her. Do you know the Lord will come and meet with us if we'll humble ourselves? And you know, there's times that we need to ask the Lord to humble us because we can't humble ourselves. And so Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Did she get something from the Lord? Do you know the Lord is with us here this morning? Do you want something from the Lord? It requires humility. The disciples learned a lesson, but this woman got something from the Lord. Do you need something from God? A closer walk? A more powerful walk? A better witness that God might use us to his honor and glory? That we might be found faithful when he returns? That we might seek him with all of our heart, all of our mind, our soul? That we might praise our God on a daily basis because he is worthy? Have you stopped and said, Lord, I praise you for all that you've given to me, beginning with the most important part, and that is my salvation. You have given to me eternal life. When have we stopped and just mused upon that idea that God has forgiven us for how many of our sins? Are you telling me he's forgotten and forgiven all of the... He blots them out. He casts them as far as the east is from the west, does he not? Unless the Bible's not true. So all the ones in the past, does he look at them? The ones today? And how about even the ones in the future? Does he not? Yeah. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from how many of our sins? Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Do I deserve that? Do you deserve that? Why did God give that? Because he loves you and I. Isn't that something? Can we not praise the Lord for making us, creating us, and saving us? Do you know what the flesh will try to do? You know what the flesh will try to do? Sow fig leaves to cover up sin. Do you know what the Spirit will do? Bring it before the Lord that he might wash it in the blood. I don't want to sow fig leaves, do you? And that's our own righteousness, excuses. That's okay. It's okay. Those unconfessed sins, I'm afraid will stand before the Lord, don't you? They'll stand. I'm afraid there's a lot of people that are misguided or are not thinking things right because they're not walking humbly with the Lord. We're just servants, not to be served. We're to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we really servants? Or are we trying to tell the Lord what needs to be done? This is what needs to be done. Or are we just saying, God, we need you to show us your way? Do you believe that? And as we humbly, that's humility. Lord, I need you. I don't want to just put things together in my head because the Lord's thoughts are not our thoughts. But God's ways are the best way. But it requires a broken and contrite heart that we might find what his will is for our lives. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, your willingness to seek us out and to work in our lives. And Lord, may we walk humbly before you, asking you to direct us in your ways, that we would not walk in our own. Bless your word to your people this morning. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.